chapter 13, verse 5. That's going to be toward the back of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The author of Hebrews is bringing the letter here to a close in these verses. And there's really a lot of good stuff in the verses surrounding this particular verse. We won't look at those things today. Maybe at some point we will. But today we're just going to look at one little verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. We'll read through it, then we'll pray, and then we'll get started. Your life should be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this simple command, this simple verse, this simple truth, dear Lord. It is so easy to read this, and it's easy to understand this, dear Lord, but it is quite difficult for us to live this out. So I pray, God, that you would help us to grow from your word today. I pray, God, that you would help us to be a people who would seek you, to fight the temptations to live for the world and to seek the things of the world, dear Lord. I pray that you would free us from distractions today. We come in here with our worries and our pains and our stresses of this world and things that happened last week and worry about what will happen next week, but I pray that in these few moments, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just be among this place, God. We want to hear from you today, God. There is no good word that I can speak if it does not come from you, so I pray, dear Lord, that your Spirit would come upon us today, that you would be glorified today, dear Lord, that you take away any fear or any pride that is within me, and that every word that is said today is for your glory. That every word, dear Lord, points us to Jesus Christ. That every word would be an encouragement or a correction to us. Whatever we may need, dear Lord, you know where we are. So I pray, God, that you just would be with us this morning. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There is lots of good instruction in the Bible. I suppose we could say it's all good instruction. Some of it is not as easy to understand. Some of it is very easy to understand, but a lot of it is very hard for us to live out. We live in a world where we are constantly bombarded with temptations. There's a fleshly part of us that is longing for and tempted by the things of the world. And more times than not, the very things that we are drawn to are the things that the Word of God tells us to be on guard against. And so it's a constant struggle because the things of the world butt heads with the things of God's Word. And so many of the things that our world holds up as important, that our world tries to say, these are the things you need to do. This is what you need to strive for. This is what you need to be successful. Many of those things are things that the Bible would say are things that will destroy us. And one of those things that's talked about occasionally in Scripture is greed, is a love for money. It is a desire for material things. Now, our world has a certain metric, a certain standard. It says, you know, here's how you can gauge if you are successful. Have you graduated high school? Have you graduated college? Do you have an undergrad degree? Do you have a master's degree? Do you have a doctorate? And every level that we get that next little peg up the ladder, then that shows, that's the evidence that we are successful. Do you have a job making $50,000 a year or $100,000 a year or $1 million a year? And every time we make it to that next level, it proves that we are successful. Do people know your name? Do people talk about you? Are you famous? Do people want to get their picture made with you? Are you an athlete? Are you the best at what you do? There are all these things that the world would would kind of prop up and promote, and we see it on social media, and we see a kind of target in our young people that this is what you need to strive for, and this is what success is, and this is what you need to be. And a lot of times money is right at the center of that. A lot of times, rightly or wrongly, we gauge our success on the amount of money that we have. And so money becomes a god to us. And we may not like to say that, we may not like to admit it, but maybe more times than we want to admit, or maybe even that we know, maybe God, our God, has become our money. That has become what we strive for. That has become what we find our comfort in. And when our bank accounts have plenty of money, we're pretty relaxed. When our bank accounts get pretty low, we get kind of freaked out. Now, what does that tell us? If you fall into that category, maybe we all do, well, that might tell us that we're trusting in our money more than we're trusting in God. Now, we probably would all come in here today and we give the church answer. I would say, what do you love more than anything? And you would all say, God, because that's the right answer. That's the church answer. But that might not be what's really the answer in our heart. That really may not be true for us. And there's a really easy test for us all to take, whether we are young or whether we are old, to determine what we really love in this world. And the way we determine what we love is what we spend our money on. It's just that simple. Now, you can think about, not right now, listen right now, you can get your pen and paper out later, and you can start figuring it up. But you don't have to think very long, because you already know after I said that I'm spending way too much money on X, Y, and Z. And that's an easy way for us to tell what we love. Do we love God? Well, if we love God, we're probably going to use what God blesses us with to bless other people. We're probably going to use what God blesses us with, whether it's our money or our skills or our time, and we're going to use that to bless other people. And so the question that we have to think about, and this is scary, because some of us are not going to like the answer we get, because we're going to start figuring up, and we're going to start seeing that maybe we spend way more money on stuff than we do on service to God. Maybe we spend way more money on ourselves than we do on people who are in need. You know what that tells us, maybe? Maybe that tells us we love ourselves more than we love other people. Now, that's not to say everything we do for ourselves is evil, but the Holy Spirit can help us to be able to discern. The Holy Spirit can help us to know when we maybe need to pull back a little bit. The Holy Spirit can help us to know if we begin to place things of the world and our wealth of the world over God and the commands of God. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he said, your life should be free from the love of money. And we probably would all say in here, I don't love money. Well, maybe you don't. Praise God. There's probably some that don't. But maybe we don't care necessarily about having a big bank account, but we might like stuff. Probably got some stuff that we like. We like our technologies. We like our vehicles. We like our other hobbies, whatever they may be, fishing, hunting, golfing, whatever it may be. We can find a variety of things. And guess what those things cost? They cost money. And so we may look at verses like these and say, well, I'm off the hook. I don't have a bunch of money in my bank account. I'm not storing up a bunch of money. And this verse is a good verse for us to consider today, because God's word says that our life should be free of the love of money. So what does God want us to do with our money? Well, some people, they just want to hoard their money. They want to be stingy. They're a miser, and the Bible talks about that, not in a good way. God blesses us, praise the Lord. God doesn't want us to be stingy with our money. On the flip side, God blesses us. He doesn't want us to just blow it all on ourselves. God wants us to use what He has blessed us with to bless others. And so the question that we have to answer is, do we love our money more than we love God? Do we love our things that our money buys us more than we love God? And if we love our money more than we love our God, then guess what our money has become? It has become our God. Now, the Scripture talks a lot about the poor. In James chapter 2, verse 5, Listen to what it says. It says, listen, my dear brothers, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Didn't God choose the poor to be what? To be rich in faith. Now, there's a problem that we experience, especially as Americans. Now, some Americans have it better than others, but generally speaking, as Americans, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good when we compare ourselves with the rest of the world. We are pretty blessed. And there are many people in the world, the vast majority of the people in the world, who would look at us today and say that we are all wealthy. Now, we may not consider ourselves as wealthy, but quite frankly, we are. You look at Americans in 2025 today, and we are blessed beyond measure. But the problem with that is, the more we get, the more we want. And the more we get, the more that begins to pull our focus from God. The more we get, the more we begin to trust in the things that we get and the wealth that we have. The more we get, the more we trust in the things and we quit trusting in God, because what need is there for God when we're wealthy? That's why it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's why it's the poor who have greater faith in God, as we see here in James. Now, that's not to say that rich people can't be have faith in God. They certainly can. There's certainly been plenty of wealthy people throughout the history of the world that were genuinely and truly servants of God that had faith in God. But it's not easy. It's not easy. And I suspect that more of us fall into that trap of trusting in our money and trusting in our material gain than we realize. And Hebrews says, look, you should be free from the love of money. And then it goes on to say this in the next part of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Be satisfied with what you have. Now that's the hard part right there. We see that idea. Some of your translations there may say be content. We see that idea of contentment and being satisfied with what we have. So he says, look, don't love money. Don't be consumed by money. Don't put your trust in money, but be satisfied with what you have. There's another test there for us to take today. Are we content with what we have? Maybe you are. That's a beautiful thing. To find contentment and to be satisfied is a beautiful thing. But to be discontent, it's a horrible thing. Because to be discontent, we continually strive for more and more and more and more. And we're looking for that next thing that's going to fill that longing that we have in our life, to fill that void that we have in our life, to give us that joy that we're looking for and that happiness that we're looking for. And we're never happy with the thing we've got. We always want the next thing, and that comes with a lot of burden. But to be satisfied comes with a great deal of peace. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1 says, better a dry crust with peace than a house full of feasting with strife. You see, our world would say we're successful if we have the fame and if we have the wealth and if we have the positions of power. But the Bible would say just the opposite of that. The Bible would say it's better to have a little and to be at peace. It's better to have nothing and trust in God than to have all of the wealth in the world and trust in your wealth. So the book of Hebrews in 13 verse 5 here gives us a good command, some good instruction, a good test for us today. Are we free from the love of money? Are we satisfied with what we have? I can look back at my life and I can say, and maybe you can too, but the times in my life that I was satisfied and content were the happiest times of my life. And you know what? Most of the time when I look back at those times, they were times when I did not have anything. And what little I had, I was glad to have it. But there's this problem that we have. The more we get, the more we want, the more we expect, the more we think we are entitled to these things. When we don't have and God blesses us, we appreciate it. And the more blessings that we receive, all of a sudden we stop being thankful to God and we start trusting in those blessings more than the one who gives them, instead of just being proud that God loves us, that God has blessed us, and being satisfied with what little or what great amount we have, to know that it is God who has provided it for us and we are satisfied in God. I remember when I was probably... Oh, this was like 1998, probably. I went back and I did the math. I was probably like 15 years old. And I was at my Grandma Irene's house one day, and she told me, "I want you to go look in the back seat of the car. I got you something." All right. Pretty excited about that. And so I go out there, and I open up the door in the back seat of her car, and lo and behold, there on the back seat is a 13-inch color TV that she had bought at a garage sale. And when I say color TV, I use the word lightly. It was slightly tinted. It was wore out 15 years before she bought it at the garage sale. But you know what? I was so happy to get that. I was so proud to get that. I was like, I got a TV, a 13-inch TV. It wasn't even as big as this tablet. And I was so proud, and she got it. Because she was tired of me playing my Nintendo games on her TV. She wanted to get me out of there. And I'm telling you, and I used that TV for like 5 years. I used that TV for a long time. It was horrible. But I didn't know it was horrible. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I was just excited to get it. I was satisfied. I wasn't even thinking about getting another TV. And that's how we need to be when the Lord blesses us. We need to be excited when God blesses us. We need to be satisfied and say, God, thank you for what you've given me. But sometimes we may say, God, you give me this and it's okay, but couldn't you give me a 17-inch TV? I mean, Mario, I can't hardly see him. But the problem is that not maybe that we're not satisfied with the things of the world. The real core of the issue, when we're not satisfied with the things that we have, when we're always complaining about the things that we have or the things that we don't have, when we are not satisfied with the things of the world, the real problem is that we are not satisfied with God. Is that we are not content with God. Because if we were content with God, if we were satisfied with God, then we wouldn't care about these other things. If we got them, we would say, praise God. If we didn't get them, we would say, praise God. And so our real problem with discontentment and dissatisfaction that we face is that we are not content with God. We have not gotten to the point where we love God more than we love our stuff. And Paul talks about this in his writings. He says, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, he says, I know how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul says, I don't care what the world has for me because I have Jesus. If I have a lot to eat, praise God. If I don't, praise God. My strength does not come from what I have in this world. It comes from Jesus Christ. And so many times what happens to us is we put all of our strength in the things of the world. And the things of the world disappear. We put our strength in our wealth, and our wealth is gone, our strength is gone. We put our strength in our health, when our health is gone, our strength is gone. We put our strength in our friends and our family and our spouses and our kids, and they abandon us, our strength is gone. If our strength is based on and founded on things of the world, those things can be gone in a moment. And when those things are gone, our strength is gone. But Paul says, my strength is in Jesus Christ. And because of that, I can do all things. I live in a world and I have things or I don't have things, but that's not who defines me. That's not what defines my success. What defines my success is whether or not I'm living in obedience to Jesus Christ. And Paul got it. But what about us? Can we say that today and really mean it from the heart? Can we say that today, that I have learned to be content in all things? And maybe you can. And maybe you can't. And praise God that we're here. That's why we come. We don't come here because we're like a bunch of super Christians. Like we just do it all right and we're just coming. We're like, oh yeah, these are good words for the peasants, but we can do it. No, these words are for us that sit in these pews because this is a struggle for us. Maybe it's a struggle for some of us more than others, but I suspect it's a struggle for all of us. But Paul understood what it meant to be content. And as long as we're striving for things of the world, we will never be content. I had that 13-inch TV. I thought that thing was pretty hot stuff. I loved it. And then one day I got a 55-inch TV. And then I thought, that's pretty good stuff too. But you know what I thought too? I thought a 65 would be better. And so now we've worked our way up to an 85. And you would think, you know what you would think? You'd think, that's pretty big. You ought to be happy with that. You know what I look at every once in a while? I look at 100-inch. I think, you know. And that's our problem. And that's not good, by the way. Y'all can pray for me on that. That's not a joke. I'm serious. That's one of my struggles. We all have our struggles. But what I should say is I just need to be content. And I need to rejoice in the 85-inch that I got. Woe is me that I can only watch the Super Bowl in 85 inches of 4K ultra high def. But you know what? My life was a lot simpler and a lot more peaceful in the world of TVs when I had a 13-inch TV that barely had any color because I was satisfied. So there's something to this being satisfied. There's something to this saying, you know what? The things of the world look pretty good and they feel pretty good and they're pretty enticing. But the problem with the things of the world is that they leave us empty and broken and just wanting the next new shiny. But if we are content with Jesus Christ, we will be satisfied with everything else. And if we're not satisfied with the other things in our life today, then the fact of the matter may be that we are not content with Jesus Christ. Paul said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, "So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That statement, those words, are words that can only be spoken by one who is satisfied with Jesus Christ. What about you today? Can you say that? Can you say, look, I take pleasure in my affliction. I take pleasure in my pain. I take pleasure in the persecution. I take pleasure in the difficulties of this world. I take pleasure in not having the things of this world. I take pleasure in the ridicule that I receive from other people. I take pleasure in these things because of Jesus Christ. Can we say that today? Paul could say it. And he could mean it only because he was completely satisfied in Jesus Christ. Perhaps today we need to change what our goals are. Stop trying to accomplish the goals of the world and start trying to accomplish the goal of Scripture, which is to trust in Jesus Christ, which is to allow Him to be our strength. And the moment we begin to trust in Jesus, the moment we realize that He is a Savior who gave His life on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven, and He is the only source of strength that there is. He is the only source of strength that there is. There is no other today. And we try to find strength in all of this junk in the world. And we could just make a long list of the things that we try to find comfort in, but it only comes through Jesus Christ. The Scripture says that God is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all strength. There is no other comfort, there is no other strength today, apart from God. And He is the only one who will sustain us today. And if we are sustained with Jesus Christ and content with Jesus Christ, then nothing else will matter in our life. And if there are things in our life of the world today that are overwhelming us, then we need to give those things to Him. Then we need to humble ourselves before Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied today? You remember the hymn? Some of you may have sang it before. Maybe you've heard it before. I am satisfied. I am satisfied. I am satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Can we sing those words today? And then the chorus ends. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary. Is my Master satisfied with me? Let's pray. God, we come to You today. We thank You for Your words. And I pray, dear Lord, that Jesus would be our strength today. God, maybe there are some in this room and they do not know who Jesus is. Maybe they know Him. They know the Scripture. They've heard it. But maybe they don't know Him, God. They don't have a relationship with Him. They know of Him. But God, maybe today there are some in this room and Jesus is not their strength. Maybe they have been searching this world over for strength and comfort in their careers or in their wealth or in their families or whatever it may be, dear Lord. But these are not the things that define us, dear Lord. These are not the things that give us strength. These things only leave us longing for more, looking for more, searching, dear Lord. And maybe there are some that have come into this room today and they were searching when they came into this place, dear Lord. And I pray today that their search may end at Jesus Christ. That they would just give up the rat race, dear Lord, to try to keep up with the world. And that they would submit themselves to Jesus Christ. That in this moment, God, that they would ask that You would forgive them. That they would repent of their sinfulness, dear Lord. God, maybe there are some in this room today and they are Yours, but maybe they have put other gods before You today. Maybe we all, in some way, shape, or form, we trust in our wealth and our junk a little more than we should, dear Lord. But God, I pray today that we would trust You all the more, dear Lord. Your Word calls us not to love money, but to be satisfied, dear Lord. And it ends with the promise that You will never leave us or forsake us, dear Lord. We can be sustained by that truth, dear Lord. While the things of this world may fail and may fall away, dear Lord, You will never leave us or forsake us. God, that is our strength today. We cannot make it through this life. We cannot make it through all the struggles and the pains and the difficulties of this world, dear Lord. We can't fight against sin on our own. We can only do so knowing that You are with us. So God, I pray that You would remind us of that truth today, that we see at the end of this verse, God, that You will never leave us or forsake us, dear Lord. I pray today, God, that if there are some who are Yours, that have tried to find the power to carry on in things of the world, that they would give those things up today. That they would trust You, that they would be sustained by You, that they would be content with You today, dear Lord. I thank you for each one that's here. I pray that you'd watch over each one that's here. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that you would just work on them right now, dear Lord, whatever you need them to hear. I pray that you're working on their heart. And I pray, God, that if there are any who are here that do not know Jesus Christ, who want to put their faith and trust in him, who want to repent of their sins today, who've already made that decision, God, where they sit, I pray that as we sing in a moment, that they would come forward, that they would make that decision known, that we would rejoice with them. God, maybe there are some here today and they just struggle. Maybe they're like me and they just struggle with the dumbest things, dear Lord. Help us to be content even with the simple things in this world. Help us to be able to fight those temptations and to rejoice in you. God, maybe if there are some that just struggle today that need prayer, let them come down to get prayer today. Let them pray where they are. But God, if you've spoken to anybody today, I pray that they would respond in these next few moments. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.